Today, on our Tech for Business podcast, Kyle and I are joined by Senior Principal Account Manager Liz and Senior Technical Account Manager and Principal Solutions Engineer Chris. We already joked before we started about how long that title is.
Gotta make sure I cover all my bases.
Yes. Right. Hey, gosh. They're joining us from Datto, a Kaseya company. So welcome to you both for being here. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule. I'm so excited to have guests on this podcast. As Kyle's sitting there saying, I'm a guest every week. What are you talking about?
I'm not a VIP.
For sure.
Thank you for having us. We're looking forward to it.
Yeah, our pleasure.
Well, on previous podcasts, we've talked about business continuity and disaster recovery, so BCDR, and we thought we need to bring that Datto into this conversation. So we're going to start really high level with, who is this episode for? You know, which industries should be having these conversations and are right for Datto? And I don't know who wants to kind of start us off and jump in.
Yeah, I'll start us off because this one's fairly straightforward. Like, honestly, everyone. Every single person, right? Every industry, any vertical that you are in really should have a BCDR plan, because there's no one vertical or industry that's exempt from ransomware or isn't targeted for cybersecurity attacks. Yeah. So from that perspective, literally every single person that needs, you know, managed IT or has sensitive data that they need to be protected is who's, you know, a target for this.
Even harder.
Yeah, everybody needs protection.
That's right.
Remember the old days when it was just hardware failure we used to protect and worry about?
Yeah, we're long gone.
The good old days. Usually just hardware failure.
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm kind of interested in, are there any industries that are really dragging their feet when it comes to this? Are there any, you know, verticals that are like, this isn't for me, I don't worry about BCDR, or is this a top priority for everyone?
I'll take this one again, because we talk about this a lot.
Yeah,
we do. We talk about this a lot, and I don't know if it's fair for me to actually pinpoint any specific industry that drag their feet, but I can tell you that there are certain verticals or industry that focus on compliances like HIPAA and ITAR. And because of that, I feel like they're more diligent in making sure that they have the right solutions in place because they need to be compliant. So, my apologies there. So because they need to be compliant, they are more proactive in their approach. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I would say. Not to be that person to call anyone out, but I would say that if you do have certain compliances, that they're definitely more proactive. They're looking at those day in and day out.
Yeah. I'll go a different direction for a second, like, and to echo Liz, like, absolutely. The folks that have specific compliances to fulfill are a lot more intricate, you know, in terms of like the specifics of everything. But then, you know, at the same time, you know, getting people engaged or selling BCDR to somebody that's had an issue is like shooting fish in a barrel, right? It's like, I've had an issue. I know what the repercussions are. I'm not doing that again. So, on the other side, on the flip side of the coin, you know, selling that ideology to someone that's never had an issue can sometimes be trying because, like, you know, they don't really understand it until they experience it. So it's really up to us to educate those people in terms of, like, you know, those acronyms like RTO and RPO and downtime and business continuity and all that sort of fun stuff. And, you know, and hopefully they can see the light so they could, you know, avert disaster, you know, when it comes knocking at their door. You know?
Yeah, I was on the same line of thought with you, Chris, on that too. As when we're working with a customer or prospect side, and we're having these discussion sides, it's usually on the lines of you kind of get to the thought process. It's about the restore, you know. It's about the restore, the recovery side of it, because many times you say, well, we have backup, but then as you kind of look at a backup, is not necessarily the recovery side of it. There's a different side of it, and then how robust that can recover and how fast it can recover, where you get to those RPO, RTO discussions, really comes into a different level of discussion as you start to have and ask more questions on it. You do find, you know, that there's a lot of assumptions that can be very dangerous there, where the business leadership is is hearing we have backups and they are extrapolating that they could quickly recover from pretty much anything, or they have, you know, all these, they immediately just figure the recovery is all covered too. And it's going to happen very fast and there'll be no challenges. They don't take into account all the other components that's required to recover and then how fast you have to recover and the impact of the business and having those bigger discussion sides with it. So, you know, that's where we just advocate and say, you need to have bigger discussions to talk through this side to make sure that you're not over assuming and finding out in the difficult manner to what Chris talked about, where we're coming in and we are selling, you know, the data solution at this point after they've already had a really bad incident, or they've really had, you know, they felt the pain of not being able to recover quickly or effectively side of it. And while we're glad we're able to assist, it's not, you know, you don't want anybody to have to go through it that in any kind of pain before reaching that point, you know, do it ahead of time.
Yeah, for sure. So I'd love to drill in a little bit deeper about Datto and its kind of role. So how do you help businesses really manage and protect their data, especially in this kind of new cybersecurity threat landscape?
Sure. I'll kickstart this one again.
I'm just like, I guess I'm taking this.
All the time. We answer these all the time. So Datto is a global leader, right, in IT and security management. And because of that, we do play a significant role, just because everything we offer is truly from the perspective of a need to manage, secure, backup, even like automate, you know, any sort of management and security. And because of that, that does mean that we do have a direct impact in helping our managed service providers and their clients. And I think probably we do this the best just because we take an approach, and I'm going to say like a hybrid solution way, so we can cover all sorts of bases, just based on like how many solutions that we have and what we can provide.
Yeah. So I mean, and I'll go off from there, you know, in terms of how it's actually implemented, you know, from like a technical, you know, perspective. You know, ideally, you know, we want to follow the rule of three, right? So that means 3 points of access for the backup of your data. So, you know, you have your production machine on site on your network, you know, and you're backing that up to a local appliance on site on the network. So let's say the Datto appliance, for example. And then that Datto appliance then transcribes all that information out to two bicoastal data centers. So Salt Lake City, Utah, and Reading, Pennsylvania, full redundancy between the two, right? So like that's your 3 points. So you have the local, then you have the two data centers, right? So that makes up three. Ideally, you know, when you come into an issue, you know, you want to fail back to that local appliance on site, because you're taking your internet service provider, you know, out of the mix, which can be a big X factor when it comes to bandwidth. So you're keeping everything local. The Datto appliances are acting hypervisors, which makes them even cooler. So not only can you perform recoveries, you know, of granular file recoveries and images back to virtual machines. So you know, these devices are acting hypervisors. So it gives you the ability to take your internet, you know, out of the whole like architecture when it comes to recovery and business continuity. So since they are acting hypervisors, you can actually spin up a virtualization of any particular recovery point and kind of have that be like a plug and play and act as that production environment to continue to run your business while you're working on the back end to get that actual production machine up to snuff. So that's the business continuity aspect of it. And then in the event, you know, that something is compromised locally on that network within that local infrastructure, like including your Datto appliance, then you fail over to the data centers, right? So starting out in Reading, Pennsylvania, the ability to do cloud virtualizations, connect directly, you know, to networks of your choosing, which is all predefined, you know, like what we do on top of this, you know, to really incentivize people to have lower SLAs is to do disaster recovery tests. So where we create a playbook together, it's like, okay, you know, like when the sky starts falling, you know, what's the first thing, you know, that you're going to do, right? So that everyone's on the same page. You don't want to waste time you know, going through the options, right? You want to have these all defined ahead of time. So it's like, okay, well, you know, I know, you know, I'm going to fail over to the Datto cloud, and I want this server spun up first and this server second and this one third, this server with this resource allocation, this one with this resource allocation from a CPU and a RAM perspective, and how it's all going to connect, right? Like, am I using, you know, public IPs? Am I doing VPN? Is it open VPN? Is it site to site, IPsec? You know, like, get all that ironed out ahead of time so that when indeed the sky does start falling, you know, you could just tell us, hey, we're going with plan A. And then my guys can just worry about creating routing records, you know, to get everyone connected and stood up. So like, that's how, you know, we really, you know, try to help out the space by creating this rule of three from a failback perspective, educating, you know, why we do this. And then kind of to the point earlier about the recovery time objective and recovery point objective, this allows that to lower that SLA, you know, given this paradigm. So yeah, that's the gist of it. So it's, you know, and also, like I said, ensuring that these playbooks are created ahead of time so we know what we're going to do at time of impact.
Yeah, the other value we've always put out there as well is that, specifically in the world of ransomware and the other sides of this, the Datto is does not have any shared credentials. It doesn't have any participation in the network side. Why it's taking images of that side of it, but if there is a, you know, account harvesting or any side of it that lended itself to the ransomware attack on it, the local Datto itself is isolated from those credentials. There is no local log on for that side of it. So there isn't, having those extra protection layers is also extremely valuable side of it. And then you also get the fact that it's offsite in other areas too. But those have lended tremendously side of it to say, you know, in the event that there's an unfortunate side with the ransom, we know we can get the customer's data backside, you know, through those things. It's just a matter of the logistics to do so. But it is, it's tremendous value with that. There's been many cases we were brought in on non-Datto protected networks where their backups were encrypted with it. And then to find out that there was no offsite, to Chris's point, the rule three becomes incredibly important, because now you just took, you know, your recovery points are now gone too. And that doesn't leave a lot of options. So when you see and hear and read on a lot of them where they pay the ransom side of it, a lot of times you find, yeah, they were not checking all the boxes on that recovery because they were missing something in the gap typically that compromised their backups too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we try to be, you know, proactive in terms of, you know, addressing any issues that might be compromising, you know, their backups, you know, from their production environment in terms of ransomware detection and integrity checks. So, you know, every backup that's performed, we're really kicking the tires and sifting through the backups to ensure that there's nothing funky going on in conjunction to what we previously backed up. So then that way, you know that, like, if you do need to spin up virtually, you know, one of these recovery points, that it will be working, you know, as you expect it to be, just like to reflect your production environment.
Yeah. And we're going to get to some practical action steps, but just echoing that assessment and planning and being prepared ahead of time is so important. You talk Correct. About it all the time on this podcast, that Right. assessment part.
It is definitely worth it.
Yeah, very much so.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll be running around like chickens with our heads cut off.
Of impact for sure. It's never fun. never fun. It makes a bad situation even worse when you don't have a plan.
Yes, I think
credibility and everything, you know.
There was a couple of weeks ago we were talking about planning, and Todd, our COO and CISO, mentioned, you know, part of his tabletop testing is, do you know where the plan is? Can you just locate it? Is like step one sometimes, you know. Do you remember where you put it, and then what you do and who you call and all of those things? So
they say it's on the file server. All the file servers down.
Yeah. Yes. Oh my gosh. So we mentioned earlier those heavy compliance industries, you know, like healthcare and government, and working when Datto's working with those people in those strict regulatory requirements. How are you addressing that data privacy and making sure that you are helping them meet all of their compliance requirements? if that makes sense.
So yeah, I'll take the lead on this one. So, you know, I think first and foremost, it, we really need to understand what compliance it is they're trying to fulfill, right? And then in turn, relate to them, you know, what it takes to make them compliant. You'd be surprised more often than not, it's more on the customer side than it is on the Datto side from a compliancy perspective, really depending upon what it is specifically that they need. But, you know, first and foremost, you know, what we do, it's been around, predates me, is the way we encrypt our data, right? So the backups, you know, at time of inception, you know, when you're pairing a production machine to a Datto appliance, you're asked right up front, do you want to encrypt your local backups? You know, and if you do encrypt your local backups, a passphrase is created. That passphrase then follows suit over the wire to our bicoastal data centers. And that's the only way you're accessing that data is through that passphrase. So the people who know the passphrase are the only ones that have access to that data, meaning like we do not here at Datto have the keys to that data. So if you lose it, you're in big trouble, right? Can't help you there. So that actually fulfills like a HIPAA compliancy, right? So HIPAA compliancy was probably one of the big things when I came in 10 years ago that a lot of people were looking to be to adhere to. And that's exactly what fulfills that, right? Is that passphrase with the encryption. By default, we're already encrypting everything that's in transit over the wire to our data centers and at rest in our data centers using AES 256-bit encryption. That fulfills a lot of compliances by itself, just alone, like that encryption, and then the ability to create the passphrase in the beginning to kind of come over the top in certain areas. You know, other than that, you know, compliances, you know, then when you get into like the well-known labeled compliances, it is very, very expensive to be compliant in a lot of these different areas. And you have to go through a whole rigmarole to get to that stature. So it is an expensive process. We really need to ensure that it is something that is needed in the space that we're working with, which is continuously growing. So for example, like, you know, GCC High has come across our place, you know, many times over the past year. And, you know, while it might be imperative for some folks, not only is it very expensive, but we would have to completely re-architecture the way that we store our data in data centers. Like, it would have to be completely separate from everything else. There's a whole lot of guidelines that go into it. And, you know, while we've had a few asks for it, it doesn't, you know, balance out, you know, in terms of like everything else we need to do. So what we're currently working on is FIPS 143. So previously FIPS 142. So that's the other thing that can get you is that, you know, you can go from a 2 to a 3 when you're in the middle of a 2 and then have to start all over again. You know, that's kind of like, you know, one of the things that we're contending with right now, but we are on a path to success, I will say, you know, in this, in terms of we want to be FedRAMP, you know, by the end of the year. So in order to do that, we have to be FIPS 143 first, and then we need to be CMMC, and then we can, you know, take on the FedRAMP portion of it. So we are, you know, like, listening, you know, we are like going out, you know, in the environments and understanding what the ask is from people, you know, how necessary it is across the board, you know, and then what it would really take to accomplish those compliances. But, you know, we are constantly reevaluating and, you know, working through it. You know, it took us a while to do the SOC 2 type 2 stuff, you know, way back when, and that all got taken care of, which definitely made a lot of people happy. So, you know, I think we're headed in the right direction. We're doing all the right things. It's just people just need to understand that it takes time and money, you know, maybe more than some folks really understand, you know, to get to the finish line on these.
Yeah, Chris brought up a good point. I think understanding, right, like what it takes to make them compliant in the beginning is most important, because I can't tell you how many times we actually set up a call with our GRC team, and GRC stands for Governance, Risk, and Compliance, right? So we have a team that we have working 24/7, 365. And more times than not, what they actually need, meaning the customer, what they need to be compliant, we actually already do. And as Chris mentioned, it's more on their side than it is on our side. So at the end of the day, it's really almost like knowledge is power, right? Mm-hmm. As long as you know what you actually need to be compliant.
I'd like to zoom out a little bit. You know, we've had a lot of technical, but businesses have changed drastically in the past few years. I mean, if we just talk about all the changes that came with COVID and moving to remote and hybrid and transitioning to the cloud, and now I'm being bombarded with all of these amazing AI tools out there. I have, how does Datto really evolve to meet these changing needs of customers? And then maybe a little bit more internally, how is Datto staying ahead of these emerging trends and technologies and all the things that are constantly changing?
Chris, you can take the charge here, but what I will just jump in and say real quick is that I can tell you our product development teams work beyond 24/7, 365 around the clock to stay ahead of the industry. You know, Chris, you could probably go into a little bit more detail just from like our direct to cloud options
and
things, but it's a lot. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a good question. And Liz is absolutely right. You know, we really do ensure that we are interviewing our partners and their clientele in terms of their need, given certain scenarios. And I think that a lot of this was really brought to light, you know, with COVID, right? A lot of people working remote, a lot of people not coming in, hybrid setups. So the need for direct to cloud, like, really started emerging. Thankfully, you know, before, you know, COVID hit, we had actually started working on a solution for Azure. You know, it's like, how are you back up folks that are running out of Microsoft Azure? And, you know, our team, our product team really went above and beyond interviewing and querying our top partners, and CIT was one of them, in terms of like understanding, you know, their schematic when it comes to the Azure landscape. And, you know, in terms of how many customers are you currently, you know, supporting that are running out of Azure, like how many VMs, what are the sizes of those VMs, what's the monthly cost, what's your egress fees look like things of that nature, because really what we wanted to do was come up with a solution for backup out of Azure that was economically sound and worked and did all the things that everybody needed it to do right out of the gate. So there was a lot of homework, you know, and a lot of research that was put in, you know, to that one particular product before it was released, you know, into the wild, if you will, you know, and with that, you know, before that we had something called cloud continuity for PCs, which is now called endpoint backup for PCs. So, hey, it's like someone running around with a laptop that's rarely on the network and they don't VPN and, you know, they're like road warriors and they're in the hotels. How do I back up this proprietary information without having to worry about that they're actually picking and choosing the right directories that they want to save, right? Because a lot of these folks were using like OneDrive or something of that, or Dropbox, you know, things of that, or like file level backup, which means that you need to be on top of where you're storing the data that you're trying to preserve. So the beauty of image-based backup is that anything that changes, we just automatically pick it up, assuming that you're backing up that volume, right, from initial inception. So any changes that occur, we just pick it up. So that was the beauty of cloud continuity for PCs, is that as long as those individuals had an internet connection, we just automatically backed up those changes. Like no interaction, no nothing, it just did it, you know, it was smart like that. And then that paved the way for, you know, then we got into, like I talked about, Datto backup for Microsoft Azure, and then endpoint backup for servers. And now we actually just released an even newer product called just plain vanilla endpoint backup. So endpoint backup for servers was rebranded to endpoint backup with disaster recovery. And then for the very reason in the naming convention of plain endpoint backup, like what's the differentiator between the two? Disaster recovery, right? So that means So endpoint backup with disaster recovery has like virtualization and screenshot verification, you know, business continuity like aspects. Whereas endpoint backup is just pure vanilla backup, right? Like it's doing image-based backup, it does all that cool inverse chain technology that we all know and love from the data, you know, product perspective. But from like a recovery perspective, you're doing granular level file recoveries and bare metal restore. So re-imaging back to a physical piece of hardware or a virtual machine. So just pure, you know, backup and recovery, which is, you know, checks the box for a lot of people. So, you know, we want to be able to, because, you know, coming back to the economically sound, right? You know, like not everybody has hundreds, millions, thousands of dollars, you know, that they can spend on this sort of thing. So we want to be able to provide affordable solutions for those that, you know, fit these specific niches. So we really try and, you know, understand the landscape, the offerings that are out there, the competition, you know, and what it takes to actually make people sound and have an efficient yet affordable solution and have that peace of mind, you know, that everything is as it should be for when they need it.
If you have hundreds of millions of dollars and you want to look for a solution, we're happy to talk to you.
Right. Yeah, no, of course. I mean, we would prefer to sell BCDR all day long.
We're pretty confident we
can
size up, honestly, if you got $100 million.
I will sell you Mercedes Benzes all day long.
Yeah. But, you know. No problem. We got you covered.
Oh, my gosh. That's so good. I love it.
Sometimes someone needs a geo or something, so. Oh, no offense to those of you that have one. Yeah.
Oh goodness. Yeah,
I
mean, well,
I would say that's it. You know, it's really like, you know, about like querying, you know, and understanding the environment, you know, that we're entrenched in, you know, on all levels, you know, and especially the partners, you know, like hence why we call y'all partners. You know, what affects you affects us, you know, and you guys are kind of the first line of defense out there in the world in terms of what you're contending with. So we rely on your feedback and take it, you know, very seriously.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It ties back to that earlier discussion just on the understanding and thinking through what you need to recover from potentially side and having a plan and then having the right recovery solution in place to meet those business needs on it. It's just, again, even the stuff Chris talked about, even just the workstations with the road warriors and those other sides on it for the right people and the right sides of it, there could be a tremendous amount of value loss if that device was, you know, crashed or stolen or whatever may happen to it in transit while they're mobile, just dropped. I mean, all those things that at the wrong time and the wrong place, that could be very detrimental to a business side of it. So just thinking through those things, that doesn't institute a large, necessarily expensive organization based on its value in the recovery if you ever needed to use it. But, you know, so it's just having those discussions, understanding what you may need.
Well, indeed.
Well, we've spoken about a wide range, and I hope that you guys come back and we are able to do even more of a deep dive with Datto. It's been great.
Of course, anytime.
I like to end with action steps. You know, our listeners get to this point and they say, well, now what? So what action steps can businesses take today to make sure that they are prepared going forward? Well,
honestly, I'll start with this one just because I think this is overlooked and I would hope that it would be more common knowledge than not, but I find that that's not always the case. So, you know, for anyone listening, I mean, first and foremost, if you're not already following the NIST framework, which stands for National Institute of Standards and Technology, that is a great first step because knowledge is power at the end of the day. The NIST cybersecurity framework encompasses five areas, and really it's identifying, protecting, detecting, responding, and recovering. Now, most of our conversation today was around the recover piece on BCDR. But when you talk about like actual action plans, you know, as soon as you would, you know, have access to do this, you should understand the NIST framework and really have that be your first area of focus before you even got started on an actual plan, like getting into maybe like training. And I know we joked before about Todd being like, where does your plan live, right? That should be step one, is understanding what needs to be a part of said plan, you know, before you actually dive into a plan.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, NIST is very important, you know, and sometimes I make the mistake and I say National Institute of Securities and Technologies, but I don't think I'm too far off by saying that. Sometimes it's got to be some sort of like, you know, mental thing going on. But, you know, yeah, like, you know, you got to identify your assets, right? Like what are your what are your proprietary assets? And then how are you going to protect them? Like, what are you doing to protect them with like your AVs and things of that nature? And then how do you detect, like when something actually occurs, like what are the detection algorithms, right? And then when you do detect on something, how do you respond to it? Okay. Like what are the steps there? Is it automation? Is it manual? Like whatever it is. Right. And then last but not least, recovering, you know, if you have to recover and fail back to a previous point in time, do you have something in place that can actually do that properly and effectively that meets your support and business needs? And, you know, it really, you know, kind of like all these next things, I think really encompass, you know, what Liz and I have been talking about. Communication, right? Communication is super, super key. Like without it, we're nothing. We'll never evolve without communication. It's number one in every rule of life, or at least, but especially here. Training. So once again, it kind of falls into communication, just making sure that people are aware of like, what do we do? And for, you know, for reason A, what do we do when B happens? What do we do when C happens? You know, what are the steps? Have a plan in place. You know, we talked about a little earlier, like disaster recovery plans, like that actually is true on a lot of different levels, you know, in terms of like, what is the plan going to be, you know, and creating like awareness, you know, to like your surroundings, like what are the, you know, the key players out there that could infiltrate, you know, you know, like what are the things to look for, whether it's in emails or, you know, what in texts or whatever it may be. Who's out there in the world right now causing a ruckus? So you'll recognize it when you see it. You know, and then also, you know, when you're accessing data and you're remote, make sure you use a VPN. You know, you want to keep everything isolated, you know, and on your network and protected. You know, use company or corporate issued hardware. You know, like don't let people just use their own laptops and their own PCs at home when they're working remote. Standardize across the board. And then last but not least, like limit access. You know, like you always work with people that want access to everything, whether they need it or not. No, don't. That's not cool. That's not the way you only give access to those who actually need it and are actually creating a difference in time of need or for whatever that reason may be. You know, the more you open the doors, the more susceptible you are. And that's it. You know, I think that that's, you know, those are like kind of like they sound like very, very basic rules to live by, but you would be amazed at how many people do not fall into one or two or three of those categories, and they're just susceptible.
Yeah, the risks are real. I mean, and again, it is that communication. Just not having the right conversations can be costly. You just need to have the right conversations and try to identify those things. And at least if you can't fit it in your budget, you can take, you know, even non-monetary steps to know and at least have a plan of how you would deal with it. But again, like anything, it's just having those discussions first and foremost. I think it's usually the gap between the IT department and the business organization, you know, leadership level side of it is usually that can be wide in some organizations where they're just not talking. And there's assumptions on both sides that they understand where they're really at. And I think there needs to be a discussion so they mutually understand and make those, you know, just have those discussions and talk through it. To get back to that tabletop exercise, those are things that just kind of help bring those to light to say we need to have some bigger conversations, because that is not what I expect as usual what we hear. So it's good to have businesses sit down and have get everybody at the table, first and foremost. No matter what size organization you are, you should have an understanding of that, because you do not want to have it if something unfortunate happens. That is not time to be figuring this stuff out. That is very stressful. And I hate it when that happens to somebody, because it's just not a, it makes a really bad day really, really bad.
Yep.
Agreed.
Communication, planning, assessment, all those important things.
Authentications, MFA, you know, like all that sort of cool stuff. I forgot to mention that, but that's obviously very important.
Yep.
Basics. Yeah. Yes. Well, yes. Thank you so much. Thank you, Liz and Chris, for joining us today. If you'd like to know more about Datto or get in touch with anyone on this podcast, please reach out to us at info@cit-net.com or head out to our website, cit-net.com/podcast. We'll be back next week with an all-new episode.